Jim, you're demanding. I love Jim. I'm just kidding. I would not be able to do what I do without Jim, for sure. You should have saw how small that PowerPoint was this morning. Jim caught that, and he's like, no one's going to be able to see that. So, I'm praying that today the Lord is going to move in a mighty way. I want His Holy Spirit to just touch our hearts, because that really is the key and what matters when we really look at what we're doing here. If we gather unto a place to just hear a sermon and to go out from this place and to live our lives the same way that we were living it, then we've missed the point. We've missed what God is saying. And today I'm believing, I actually have a handout for you guys today. So we're serious about this sermon today. So I'll have the ushers come up for a moment. And I want to thank the ushers too, because I was like trying to hand all these things out, and I'm thinking, who's going to be sitting where? So I'm so thankful for the body of Christ in action. Now, this is not just a piece of paper, although you're going to look at it. There is two sides. Do not be worried about the length of the sermon. I am going to power through this. But I want this to be a lifeline for you guys today. I don't want this just to be a piece of paper that gets left behind. I want you to take it home. I want you guys to be able to read this scripture daily, because if we apply these scriptures in our lives, it means that we're going to have some victory over some areas that we have probably needed victory in a long time. There's going to be areas of our lives where we've been battling with shame and anxiety and fear, stress, whatever you want to put into that addiction, battling the same thing over and over. God wants to set us free from these things. So this jacket today, just before we start into the sermon, I just want to do a small illustration. This is not my strong suit, but this is where the Lord called me to do today. So I'm like, okay, God. This jacket today is going to represent in all of our lives what fear, anxiety, stress, addiction, sin, whatever it would be to you battle with in your life. And this is what this will represent today. So you see me today, and you see me as Justin, and I see you guys as you. But what are we clothed in? What are we wearing at times? So I want you to picture this jacket as very filthy, very stinky, very smelly, but yet I cling to this thing. And this is going to represent fear, anxiety, stress, addiction, all of that in one. This is what I'm clothed in right now. And God is saying to us today that I want you to remove that. And I would say, but God, I do want to take this off, but it's a part of me. You know, this is my jacket. You know, although I don't like it, although it stinks, although it's filthy, it's just what I do. I don't want it really. You know, I would like to take it off, and at times I'll get part of it off, but yet it still clings to me. And with a bit of fear and a bit of anxiety, a bit of stress, it comes right back on. And the problem is that it gets tighter and tighter. Now, I still love Jesus with all my heart. Lord, I love you so much, and I want to serve you, and I want to do whatever I can, but I'm restricted with this jacket. I can't do the calling that God has called me to do. And this jacket, it's also addiction-based. So although I love Jesus with all my heart, there are things in my life that still drag me down deeper and deeper away from Jesus, that separate me from Jesus. But yet, this jacket remains on. What God is wanting to do, and I want you to think of your life, all those things we just talked about, and it could be something as simple as just maybe a fear base. You know, what are you bringing to the table today? What is your jacket, and what does God want to do with it? He wants you to take it off, and He wants you to leave it at the cross. But so often, as we've left it there, in a few moments, we're like, God, I'm free. I'm never going back to that thing again. I'm never going to think and worry about that again. I give it to you. It's yours. The enemy comes in quick. Circumstances happen. People talk to us. And suddenly, we start looking at it again. And it's like, oh, I don't want that anymore. And that addiction starts to call out to us. And we start looking at it, and it's like, Lord, I don't want that anymore. But if we do not apply what we're going to talk about today, our reality will always be this. Lord, I trust you, and I love you, and I'm thankful that I'm your kid, and I'm sorry for what I've done again. I'm sorry that I'm sinning, but I love you. I know I'm not perfect, but I want to continue to walk with you, and I'm fully clothed again in my guilt, my shame, my addiction, my fear, my anxiety, my stress, walking this walk out as a Christian with Jesus Christ, fully clothed in the wrong things. God wants us to be able to throw it off of us at the cross and to leave it, to walk in a freedom that He's called us to walk in. As I read through some of this stuff today, I'm not going to quote the scriptures. That's why I've handed it out today. So I want you to be able to see what we're reading, where it's found. And then the point of this is that you will take this with you and you will put it on your fridge. You'll put it beside your bed. You'll take it, set it in your Bible. And I'm asking daily that you would go through these verses, because we will have victory in our lives through the power of God's word, through the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit in us. The beautiful picture of what God has done for us, and I want you to really hear this starting point. You are not strong enough to accomplish these things in your own power. God has given us the Holy Spirit, which means the more time I spend with Jesus, the stronger I become. The more time I spend in his word and start gaining that knowledge and wisdom of who I am in Christ and who God is, suddenly I become stronger in that area. I start feeding my spirit. I start becoming stronger in Christ. So the things of the world become less and less. If I stand here divided saying, God, I love you with all my heart, but I also love drugs, I've lived that life. It's not a pretty life. If I stand here and say, Lord Jesus, I love you so much and I don't want to fall into pornography, but yet I just did again, there doesn't seem like there's power to break those things. But I will tell you that through Jesus Christ, I'm an overcomer in all these areas of my life. I don't have to stay in sin. It's but if I sin, not when I sin. Now, the reality of that is it's not character modification. It's not if I do 10 things right, then Jesus is going to love me more and I'm going to be able to accomplish his purposes. The reality is God meets us where we're at through his Holy Spirit. He allows us to go through trials. He allows us to be refined. There are going to be thorns in our flesh at times that we have to walk out, and God has a plan and a purpose for those things. So it's not an easy walk. It's not suddenly I'm set free from everything and this is great. But the reality is, if I make war with the things in my life that Jesus has said to make war against, if I believe that we are in a warlike mentality in this time, if I'm not fighting against flesh and blood but spiritual principalities, if I can start seeing it this way, then suddenly everything changes. Kirk Giles, when he talked about that, when he said you're fighting with your wife, is that really you and your wife, or is that the enemy bringing that in? And he said, if you are honestly trying to serve the Lord, you're going to have spiritual warfare come in. And why would you not? We don't want to give the enemy a platform and say, oh, it's the enemy. The reality is that we are at war, and there are things that are taking place. So we do have an enemy, and there are things that are coming into our lives that we have to stand up against. You know, I don't ever want to give him a platform and say, oh, look what the enemy just did in my life and whatever. I want to stand here and say, look how awesome God is that I overcame these areas. Look how awesome God is that addiction is broken in my life. And even when I stumble and fall flat on my face, then God has given us an answer with his cross that says, through the grace of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, I can ask for forgiveness, and then my sin is wiped out. It's forgiven. Part of that jacket, the enemy does not want you to believe that you're forgiven. The enemy wants you to stand in a place always thinking of, God, I love you, but look what I've done. You know, I know you've forgiven me, but I'm not that good of a person. That isn't what Jesus is asking us to be like. When we're forgiven, it's like coming back to God and saying, Lord, but you remember what I did that one time? And God's going to look at you and say, I don't remember that anymore. What I see is Jesus, because you've asked for forgiveness. When we forgive people, it has the same principle. And I want you to think of that in your own life today. Are there people that you need to forgive? Are there people that you need to let some stuff go from and say, Lord, I need to give this to you today? Because that's part of that jacket, unforgiveness. We know that we need to be able to forgive so that God can forgive us. We can be as justified as we want, and we can be 100% right, but yet God still says, would you forgive? Because when you were at your worst, when you were in that place, I still chose to forgive you when you didn't deserve it. And we have to remember that. So when we stand in this place today, laying these things down, I want to pack a power verse here. I want to go through these verses and read it like a story, because as we saw that victory ambush song, this is victory scripture that is going to show us that we can have this walk with Jesus Christ. The first part that I was thinking of this week is prayer plus God's word equals power. And I want you to think of that. We have been praying for Pastor Mark, and he is coming back on the date that he had scheduled to. We're seeing changes in his heart. We're seeing changes in his life. It's awesome to seeing what God is doing. You know, as we stand in prayer together, guys, as we stood united and we all stood and made a declaration for Pastor Mark, as we stand together united as the body of Christ in prayer, The enemy does not want that. He doesn't want us to be united praying out for specific things, because then we become a weapon that the Lord can use. That's exciting to see us coming into that place that we're not always on defense, but able to stand in a place where the Lord says, I'm going to use you mightily here, and I'm going to use this situation to refine you and then go out from this place to show my glory. So I want to go to God's word today and spend some time in some key scriptures to see how big our God is, how important prayer is. Looking at the last few weeks on the armor of God, the power of prayer, I want to pull it together, not by my words or ideas, but what our God says in his word, his promises, his truth. The other part that I want to cover today is realizing sin still has no hold on us if we trust Jesus with this. There will be spiritual warfare, but God fully equips us for battle. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What God is showing us in this, and I want you again to picture, what is it that you've brought today that you need to lay down to say, God, this is going to be yours now, and I'm going to leave it there because I want to be free. I want to walk in this freedom. God is going to give us this picture and the way to do it. This is practical, and we can apply this in our lives. That's the exciting part. He doesn't make it difficult. We resist the enemy must flee. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than is in the world. For though we live in the world, we do not war against as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments of every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. As we walk in this life, God has given us the armor, which we heard about 2 weeks ago, which you heard a little bit about last week. But do we realize that every thought that comes into here, God has given us the ability to take it captive, to put it under Jesus, and then to look at it and say, if this is not of God, if this is not of what the Lord would have as my best, I need to disregard it. If you walk this life hearing everything going on in your mind nonstop, it is a miserable experience. God wants us to be able to have those thoughts under control, to say, Jesus, what are you saying to me? So often, and we've done this on Monday night, and it was just like the whole room, it just became like an aha moment when we called this out. How often do you walk into a situation where you're like, why would I have that thought? Oh my goodness, that's not a thought that I would ever want to have. And the enemy comes in so quick again to say, but it was your thought. Oh, don't ever let anybody know you thought that. That's disgusting. You know, oh, that's gross. Like, if you ever told anybody that thought, you know, what would they think of you? And he tries to isolate us in that. But once we realize that that is not our thought, and it's an attack or it's a spiritual warfare moment, we're able to lay that down. That doesn't become part of my jacket ensemble. It becomes the truth that God's saying that, Justin, that's not you. This is what I would say of you. This is who you are in me. And it's laying those things down. So if we take thoughts into captivity, even Paul said to daily renew your mind. If we're not doing that, people, we are going to be in a whole heap of trouble, because God is wanting to spend that intimacy with us, that time where our mind can actually focus in on him. If you find it difficult to sit down with God's word and focus, and we're in a culture that has a million distractions at once, there's no question on that. But if I can stand before the Lord and renew my mind and have intimacy with him, I get a fresh start. You know, each day, wouldn't it make sense? Like our cell phones, we do it all the time. We plug it in because it needs to be recharged, and then we use it up for the day. We plug it back in at night, or whenever we do, it recharges again. Jesus is saying the same thing to us, that we need to lay these thoughts down. So if we're in spiritual warfare and our mind is the mind of Christ and we are taking thoughts into captivity, then suddenly we're walking in a very different light and in a very different freedom, because then our mind isn't that garbage pit that's just telling us what to do, what not to do. We can have authority. We can have freedom in those areas. Addiction does not have that same pull any longer. You know, things in our lives do not have that same pull if it's not of God. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and the vindication is for me, declares the Lord. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand firm, then the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and always remember to be praying in the Spirit. When we look at putting on God's armor, does it seem foolish to us to daily wake up and to say this prayer, to pray this over our lives? The helmet of salvation, to block those thoughts out, the breastplate of righteousness, to guard our hearts, you know, the belt of truth, you know, to stand in an upright area, to be ready, the shoes of peace, to be grounded into the ground so that we're not easily moved, we're not bending on either side, a shield to defend ourselves, and God's word, his sword, to be able to attack. When we look at these things, and if we think of it as foolishness, but then if we believe that we are in spiritual warfare, that there are things that are taking place, why would I not want to be fully equipped? You know, it's the same idea, I guess, in a sense, that if we were at war, if we became a country that went to war, and I didn't like war, I didn't believe in war, I didn't want to take part in war, so I'm not going to equip myself, I wouldn't last very long. You know, if the regiment was, you need to have your weapons, you need to have knowledge, you need to, you know, be a part of a group, and in that group setting, you will be able to defend and attack whatever your corporal, which would be God for us, would be saying. And we would look at that and say, okay, that makes sense. We're at war. We need to do this. We need to unite. But we don't really do that as Christians a lot of the times. A lot of the times we look at it as, okay, well, I have my life, and I have some issues, and I have these things. And I don't want us to become consumed that all we're focusing on is spiritual warfare, that everything's a demonic attack. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is that we do need to be aware that there are things taking place that we need to be making a stand in. When we look at our world today, and I so wanted to do a study on Revelations today, but the Lord just said, not yet. I was so excited just about some end time stuff that God's been really revealing to me. But when we look at the chaos and the things happening in our world, it can become unsettling. You know, when we look at the United States as an example and what's taking place there, it kind of becomes unsettling. We're thinking, like, what is going on? What is happening in this time? You know, when we look at that, we can say, okay, well, I need to do this and maybe prepare here, and maybe I need to think differently. But the reality is, all of that pushed aside, God is wanting us not to focus on those things, but to focus on what he is saying, what he is doing, you know, and what to be praying for. So if prayer becomes a weapon, if self-control is needed, if all these things start taking place, God is going to fill in those areas of our lives. And we need to have that intimacy with Jesus. So I encourage you guys daily to put on the armor of God, to pray it over yourself, to realize that if I am in spiritual warfare, I want to pray this armor over me. I want to believe that by doing this, that this is equipping me for the battle that I have today. You know, as we learned about 2 weeks ago and a little bit last week, that we're only to worry about today, for tomorrow will have enough problems in itself. So if I'm equipped today, if I'm doing my very best for the Lord, if I'm renewing my mind, if I'm taking thoughts into captivity, we suddenly become a warrior for Jesus. It's exciting. And out of this beauty, which is so great, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. When we look at these truths, and I want you guys to take these things and claim them in your life, this will break off the power of anything in your life that's not of Jesus. When we look at the addiction in our lives, the sin in our lives, the shame, the guilt, the fear, the things that draw us back, that weigh us down, claim these things. You've taken thoughts into captivity. Now you're walking with the armor of God, and now God is telling you that this is the authority that I have given unto you to deal with the things that you're going against. That's exciting. Now, we should look at that and say there's no excuse at this point, because I will stand before the Lord and I can't ever say, but God, you didn't give me a way to do this. You know, that sin was just a little bit too difficult. That addiction ruled my life, when God is saying that if you choose me, when you accept what I've said to you and you know who I am as a father, everything changes. We've been talking in Monday nights about God delighting us, delighting in us as a father. And as I read and I heard these messages, I thought, I don't often look at God delighting in me. I don't often see that or feel that. And to think that God's word says that he delights in us, I'd encourage you guys to even do a Google search this week and just look at all the ways and all the scriptures how God does delight in us. It's incredible. You know, with singing, with laughter, God's thoughts are endless towards you like the sand on the seashore. And when we start seeing God in that light, and the question really does become, do we see God in that light, that he is a father who delights in his children? That not only is he saying, well, you need to read your word and you need to spend time with me, his delight is that he wants that. He wants intimacy with you. That's an exciting thing to think of God as a father like that. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you in seven ways. And I love that verse because to me that is really, it's not always physical enemies. I'm not walking out on the street and I have 10 people who want to jump me. You know, I'm looking at this saying, okay, well, this is the areas that the enemy wants to throw stuff at me. There's areas going on. And I mean, if 10 people want to jump you, that is a reality for some of us. It wasn't one point in my life. God is faithful in those things, you know. And again, guys, it doesn't always mean that it's easy. It doesn't always mean that it's like, okay, I apply this and it's good. I remember times in my life when I was first learning these principles, and I had my ice business back then, and I was bagging ice. I'd do it for like 4 or 5 hours a day, and I hate ice now. So, but I would be doing that, and I remember I felt like I was almost crazy because I was coming out of so much sin and so much bondage and so much garbage as I was coming to Christ. And I thought, oh, once I accept Jesus for real this time, then everything is going to fall into place. But it was a battle. There was a war going on where I was daily, as I was figuring out this principle of taking thoughts into captivity, I remember bagging ice, and I was just like, okay, Lord, I'm not thinking about that. I give it to you. You know, I don't want to think this way. And then that fear or anxiety would come back, and it's like, no, Lord, I don't want that fear and anxiety. Thank you that you've set me free. And I started applying scripture to the areas that I was being attacked under. And suddenly, one day, I remember realizing that that same attack was gone. You know, we resist the enemy must flee. And doing it through God's scripture sets us free. So there's no excuse. When we look at our lives, guys, whatever you're battling against, whatever you're facing, you know, and it can sometimes be just complacency. Sometimes it can be like, okay, I know I should pray, but I'm too tired. I know I should read God's word, but I don't get anything from it. And we realize that it's not about us. You know, this is the intimacy that God's calling us to come into with him, to say, okay, Lord, I need to break this off in my life. Sometimes laziness is an area that we need to give over to the Lord and lay down at the cross. You know, sometimes my apathy where I'm just like, oh, okay, God, I'll do it tomorrow. We need to lay those things down at the cross. We need to say, God, this is serious. Having a relationship with you changes everything. This sets me free. I don't want to dabble anymore on half the world and half you. I want you. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. God's telling us this. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The end of the story is the most beautiful picture of what God has said and done, that he wins. The enemy does not win. So when we look at our lives and we think of it as the temporal, we can get so caught up in all the things that are going on in our world. When God is saying that, I would love, I want you to hear this, I would love for you to stop looking down at this stuff, and I want you to start realizing that it's about eternity. Everything we do is going to be affected there forever, for eternity. You know, we heard something on Monday night by Matt Chandler. He said, in 20,000 years, when we've been up in heaven for 20,000 years, the things that we've worried about down here are going to seem very silly. You know, we're going to look at it and be like, oh my goodness, like I was worried about this. Like, God, you're this. You know, I can't even believe it. That's what I thought. Now, reality is we're in this sometimes, and it's easy to get focused on the issues that are at hand. But God is saying, take your eyes off of those things and look to me. So I can't pay my rent. Look to me. You know, but this person said this to me and it hurts and I don't know how to forgive them. Look to me. Sometimes it's, God, I've prayed so much for this area of my life to be touched and healed, or this person to come to know you, and I'm not seeing it, and I'm frustrated, and I don't know why this thorn in my flesh keeps staying. I've asked you to take it away, and he's still saying, look to me. And if we know who we're looking to, it changes our heart position to something so beautiful that though I may suffer, though I may go through loss, though I may battle with things in my life that other people don't have to battle, that who Jesus is, when my heart's positioned in the right view, it doesn't matter. We give up our lives, we lay it down, and it's suddenly, Lord, you're all that matters. Whether I have much or little, whether I have my dreams or not, you know, whether I have, you know, the things that I thought you had said to me and it didn't work out that way, God is still that beautiful picture of a loving father who's saying, I love you so much and I'm going to show you why. And sometimes, even on this earth, we're not going to have that final answer to know. But when we stand in glory, we can know that God will reveal those things to us. It'll be beautiful. You know, everything the enemy means for our bad, he turns around for our good, and he makes beauty from ashes. It's incredible. It's not about us being perfect. It's just about us coming to him. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Not only does God give us the tools, God walks with us through the things that we're battling in. God walks with us through the temptation, through those things to support us, to love us, to stand with us. I think that's incredible to think that we have a God who loves us so much that meets us in the mud and pulls us out, doesn't want to leave us there. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. No matter what we're going through, no matter what the battle is, if we renew our strength by spending time with Jesus, by reading his word, by applying these things, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And to think that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Happiness, guys, can be taken from you in many different ways, but the joy of the Lord is your strength, which means whatever you're going up against, whatever you're battling against, no matter what it is, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We will get through that time. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised. He's with us. Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Though you, we will push back our adversary. Through your name, we will trample down those who rise up against us. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We see that we have a God that fights with us and for us and carries us and loves us and stands with us and wants his very best for us. We have a free will. And as we looked at that jacket of shame and anxiety and everything that that represented, God's best for us is not to carry these things any longer. And I want at the end of the sermon today, guys, that if you find yourself in a place where you've been battling something for so long and you're at a place where it's like, I just don't feel that anymore. I'm not sure if I can overcome that. I want to invite you to come up for prayer, because you're not a warrior who stands alone. Not only is God with you, but God's given us a corporate body, a body to come together, to pray together. If we go back to the very beginning of what we were talking about, again, just in that one part, that God's word, so prayer and God's word equals power. If we apply these things today, I want you to know that you will have an enemy who will come in to say, it won't work. You've tried this before. Yeah, okay, people are going to pray for you, and then you're going to walk out the door, and it's the same story. You don't know the addiction that I'm facing. You don't know the temptation that I'm in. If you were really to know who I was on the inside, you'd have nothing to do with me. Those are the lies the enemy would love to spill at you even right now. But to stand firm and to know what God is saying, to have people pray for you. I love how Matt Chandler says one thing. He says, just out yourself. Because then if you do this, if everybody knows what's on the table, you're going to have the best sleep at night. No one's going to be able to come in. But you did this, this, and this. It's laying it all out to the Lord today. So outing yourself to the Lord, saying, God, you know who I am. We don't hide anything from him. He sees exactly who we are and says, I love you. And we would say, but God, my guilt, my shame, my anxiety, all these things, how can you love me? He died on the cross for us for those very reasons, so that we can then say, Jesus, I need you. I love the truth, guys, that even when we were his enemies, he pursued us. So that shows us that anybody in this place, your sin is not greater than Jesus Christ. Your anxiety, stress, and fear are not greater than Jesus Christ by the power of the blood. And Jesus is saying, I want to set you free today. Don't hear this as a message or just another call to come up. You know, I've battled through this message even today. I'm just like, oh, Lord. And then I'm like, oh, I'm taking that thought into captivity. I just want the Holy Spirit to move in such a powerful way in each one of our lives. I want us to be a body of believers who are set free from the things that we're battling against, knowing that it's only through God. It's not about a better program. It's not about a better sermon. It's not about better music. It's that one-on-one with Jesus, because he came to set the captives free, which means he came to set us all free. So what is it in your heart today that you need to lay down? And if you don't feel comfortable coming up to the front, that's fine. But I want you, as we're going to go through the last song, to think about that thing that you can lay down to the Lord and just say, God, I need to give this over to you. But I do want to encourage you as a step of faith to come up to the front. I know the easy answer is to just, I'm giving you guys an off, and I don't feel like the Lord's telling me to do that now. So I'm going to, sorry, Lord. I would love you to come up to the front. And I would love you to be able to talk with someone, to pray about somebody, and let's war together. I'm just going to close just tying in with Pastor Mark. I just want to pray for Linda Burrows today too. She's been battling a sickness for a while. And we're just going to pray the Holy Spirit will move. And I'll just invite the worship team just to come back up as we're just praying. Jesus, I just thank you so much that God, it's this day in our lives and all of it. It's not just to come into a place and then to have that time with you and then life goes on after that. Jesus, you want to be with us 24/7, and I'm so thankful for that. God, give us hearts that will open up to receive that truth today, a revelation knowledge, not just speaking it, Father. I pray for each one of us in this place, Lord Jesus, that our hearts would fall more in love with you, that the things of this world, Lord Jesus, would not have a grip on us any longer, that sin in our lives that we've wanted to keep, that we've wanted to hide, that we've wanted to have there, and then there's sin in our lives that we don't want, that's taken over areas of our lives. Father, we want to lay that all down to you today at the cross. Father, I thank you that you died on the cross, not only for our salvation, but to set us free from sin, the power of it. The enemy lost his power. And God, I would pray that in any area of our own lives that we've given the enemy legal right to have those spots in our lives with strongholds and footholds, Lord, I pray that you would reveal that to us as well, and that we would just say, Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't do well in this area. I need you to forgive me, and I want to move past this. And then, Holy Spirit, only through you, because it's not by character modification that we just do better and then we'll have a better relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you become so alive in each one of us that there be no more grieved areas of our lives that we've kind of held you down in. Lord, show us those areas so that we can just pray that stuff off of us and say, Lord, we choose you. As we fall more in love with you, God, I pray that reading your word, spending time with you, praying would become the greatest joys of our lives. That we would start to look upward and think of heaven. That we'd be thinking about eternity. That we wouldn't get stuck in the snares that the fowler would have for us on this earth. That we would get stuck in our own stuff. That we wouldn't get stuck in our own fears and anxieties and stresses and addictions. But Lord, we would just continue to say, I take that thought into captivity and I give it to you, Jesus. I put on that full armor of God because it's what you've called me to do, because I am at war. Lord, thank you so much that you are a God who answers prayer. And even when you don't do it in the way that sometimes we wish you would, God, I thank you that there is still beauty in exactly how you'll do it. It's your way. And as we learned last week, God, your thoughts are higher than ours, and your ways are higher, Father God. But I thank you that in that truth, Lord Jesus, that your word comes down, just like the rain comes over the farmer's crops to accomplish its purpose. Your word does the same thing, Lord Jesus. As you speak it out, it comes down and accomplishes the purposes that you've set forth, and it will not return void to you until it's accomplished those purposes. Thank you for that truth, Lord. So in our lives, we want to lift up prayer to you today, Father. We want to lift up these concerns, these things. We want to lay down these things at the cross. And then, God, as we trust, and I love your word that says we can boldly come into the throne room and say, the Lord is my helper. God, we need your help. We need to be a people who are desperate for you. So Holy Spirit, thank you so much that you were given for such a time as this, that even Jesus said it would be better for me to go so that he will come. And we just thank you for that, Lord. So we lift up Pastor Mark again today, Father God. We lift up Linda Barrows. We lift up anybody else who's struggling with sickness. Lord, anybody else that is struggling with disease. Anyone who's struggling with mental illness, Father. All of these things. You know the list, Lord Jesus. But God, we want to stand together as a body, united, praying for our brothers and sisters, Lord, knowing that there is power in prayer. Knowing that, Lord Jesus, when we bring in your word with prayer, it equals power. And we want to stand in authority, Lord. Help us to realize that authority. So God, we continue to pray for Mark's full healing. We pray for Linda Burrows' full healing, Lord Jesus. But God, anybody else here that's laying down anything today, God, that they would be set free. That those strongholds, that those footholds would be broken in Jesus' name. And the enemy will have no victory. As we resist the enemy must flee. And we stand on that truth in our lives, Lord Jesus, that walking out of this place, Father God, we would be as strong as coming in, Lord, because of your strength. It's not even about our strength, Father. I thank you, Jesus, and we just give this song to you. We lay these things down to you. Holy Spirit, do a transformation work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.